Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Listen to what it says. Read it with me. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? God was the first one to use that word, why. Why? It's used 361 times in the Bible. People want to know. Everywhere, people are asking the question, why? Why does God allow evil and suffering to continue? Why has humanity suffered so long and wandered? People are saying, why? If God is good and righteous, why does he allow evil in this world? And why does he not intervene to end it? People have endeavored to come to grips with this puzzling question. Ever since the world has begun, to humans it seems so obvious. If God is truly, as Christians proclaim, all-loving and all-powerful, he could stop the evil, the sufferings in this world. So why doesn't he? Why? It's a question that comes to the mind and lips of many, many people across our world. And we as humans think of life a lot. Sometimes we wonder what it would be like if we never was born. But mostly, we wonder how are we to cope with our problems? How do we deal with the challenges, the heartaches, and the successes and failures, the ups and the downs? Why do we have so many problems? This was a question asked by many in the Bible. It shows up, like I said, 361 times. And of all the questions, it is the most searching, the most tormenting. This word falls from the lips of the mother who delivers a stillborn. The parents who's heard that dreaded diagnosis, it's leukemia. The wife who learns of her husband's tragic death. The overseas soldier who gets a Dear John letter. And it's heard from the struggling father of five who loses his job. The close friend who would commit suicide. We hear this word, why? Why me? Why now? Why this? No man-made gauge can measure the shock and the horror that strikes the nervous systems when ill-fated news travels to the human ear. Nothing can fully prepare us for such moments as these. Few thoughts can steady us afterwards. Perhaps only one thought would help. Consider Job. Imagine his feelings when he heard these words. You've lost your livestock. They've been stolen, and your shepherds have been killed. Your sheep and your camels were also destroyed. Your employees were murdered, Job. Job, there's one more thing. Your children was crushed in a freak windstorm. They are all dead, my friend. All 10 of them. That actually happened. Job got the news in 1 5-minute period of panic. Shortly thereafter, he came down with the most painful disease imaginable. Boils from his head to his toe. Grief-stricken and confused, reeling, stinging, and standing beside the 10 fresh graves, at a total loss to explain even one tragedy, to to say nothing of five. It was naked, raw agony, and the heavens were mute. No explanation thundered across the sky. Not one reason, not one. This was enough to cause his wife to say, "Curse God and die." Imagine that. But boldly he snapped back, "You sound like a fool, woman." Wisely he stated, "Shall we accept only good things from God and never adversity?" A lot of preachers, a lot of teachers criticized the wife of Job for even suggesting that. But let me remind you that she also heard the same bad news that Job had heard. She had heard about how all of their stock had been destroyed and their servants had been murdered. She heard about the big windstorm that killed her 10 children. And she also was standing by Job's side that day, standing there at the foot of 10 fresh graves. She had suffered a lot. She was willing to just give it all up. In fact, it got so bad with Job, he used that three-letter word, why? In Job, the third chapter, verse 11, he asked the question, "Why died I not from the wound? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" Job began to think that it would have been better if he had never been born. I have heard people say, "It would have been better if I had not been born. Why am I struggling? Why does life offer such adversity?" Many people have asked that question. The writer of the 22nd Psalms also used that three-letter word, why. He says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" The writer of that psalm felt that God had forsaken him, felt that God was far from helping him. But the truth was, God was with him. God was his ever-present help in the time of trouble. And my friend, I don't know what you're going through, but let me also encourage you. In God's big plan, he already saw what you're going through. What you're going through today did not take God by surprise. For God, it did not come out of left field. He is there to help you. When Job was going through all of his trials, his troubles, his perplexities, he grabbed a hold of one great truth. He said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that I shall see him for myself." This great hope steadied his steps and kept him from cursing. It will keep you also. I want you to know that God is too kind to do anything cruel. He is too wise to make a mistake. And his love is too deep to be explained.